How do I tell them?
How do I tell them?
How do I pay the bills?
How do I pay the bills? I know what goes through your head when you're living with cancer. The questions, the fears, the need to know. How do I know? Because I'm living with cancer too. That's why I joined the Macmillan online community. And we can help people like you, whatever you need to ask. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
Prince Harry spent his life living in the shadow of his mother's tragic death. But when he falls in love, he realizes it's up to him to stop history from repeating itself. In our new series, Prince Harry, Windsor of Change, we'll tell you how a prince without direction became a duke who found a family.
Listen to Even the Rich on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me is the wonderful and hilarious pioneer man himself, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Today we are putting on our bonnets and our aprons for part two of our Salt Lake City recap. If you're missing part one, go check out the podcast feed. It is there. Go subscribe. It makes it much easier to deal with that. And without further ado, let's get back into the recap.
Okay, now we get some nice lethargic Oz, which I always like. Some and we're at Meredith's house in her kitchen, and everywhere she can fit it, she's got a little hot pink Meredith Marks podcast poster.
She's not willing to actually create a studio Heather Dubrow style. She's just going to put stuff around her dining room table. So Meredith is like, Seth, do you like the little personalized Oreos that I got? They all say M. It's more like Morios instead of Oreos. Look how cute they are.
Oh, and they are cute. And Justin and Whitney are going to be coming over today to do their marriage podcast. And she's like, the way things have been going, Whitney, it's not really the easiest ask. And so we see a couple's date where Seth's like, wow, you guys are so, a lot of things. But let me tell you what you really are. You're emotionally aware. You're emotionally aware, people.
Thank you. Yeah, I am emotionally aware of your eyes on my boobs.
That's not really emotionally aware, but you are correct, and they are nice.
They are boobs. I actually, when I said you guys, I actually was specifically talking about your boobs. I like how Meredith
your boobs asked, get me. Whenever my feelings are hurt, your boobs get me, Whitney.
They're monogamous.
I like that Meredith is asking, like, acting like Whitney is a hard get. Like, you're just like, Whitney, would you like to talk about you and Justin? Like, she will talk about her and Justin literally anywhere. You can just go to the 7-Eleven, you go to the library, she will talk about them.
We don't see a lot of firsts on Real Housewives. I will say this is one. Somebody calling Whitney a hard get. I don't think that's ever...
Maybe Justin, actually. So Justin and Whitney show up, and what's funny is that they brought some Viv, and Viv comes in that orange box. But from the angle that this was shot at, it kind of looked like Justin was coming with a giant block of Velveeta. And what was funny is that, like, that would not be a strange thing. Like, I can imagine Justin being like, hey, thanks for having us on the podcast. We've got you some Velveeta, which is a traditional Utah thank you gift.
He learned that at his new job. He works now.
And Seth, in case you didn't know that Seth had a podcast, he answers the door with his big ass headphones on. Hey, guys. Group hug. Come on in. Podcast. Am I right?
I didn't know if I could make it, but when you gave your address as Meredith and Seth Podcast Willow Street, it turns out you were exactly correct.
Justin is showing up in his faux Fendi burglar knit cap. I can't with Justin. Please stop putting Justin in these clothes. Please.
All right, Seth, your setup is really not pretty on this table. Well, that's because I'm not done, Mayor. Because you're a dirty, stinky boy.
I'm a dirty, stinky boy. So is Justin. And Justin's like, actually, I bathe regularly. That was a joke, Justin, okay? When I said emotionally intelligent, that's why I stopped it. Emotionally. All right, just have a seat, big guy. Okay, have a seat.
Wait. Can I publicly apologize for commenting on your bathtub?
And Meredith's like, well, that old thing. As if Meredith did not fully lose her mind in the season premiere about the bathtub.
I know. She's like, we're going on the bathtub.
Very good. All right, question 19. Would you like to take a bath with us? I'm going to pass out now.
Okay, well, anyway, welcome back to Hanging by a Thread with Meredith and Justin. Wait a minute. I am curious. Why, with your theme, Hanging by a Thread, why were we the first couple you ever invited? Is it because Justin needs to hold up his end of the thread now that I'm a boss bitch? Business lady?
Well, sweet slow Whitney, the whole concept is to talk about relationships and interesting relationships too. And it doesn't mean that your relationship is currently hanging by a thread because we know it's already way past the expiration date. But there is something of interesting about your relationship, or at least that's what I tell myself every time I think about the footage of you two rolling around in Hershey syrup.
So this is your husband. Your name is...
Justin. We've known each other a very long time.
Right. Very interesting person. So Seth's like, what's the craziest place you've ever made Whoopi?
Whitney's like, remember, Justin, that time I was under your desk and HR walked in?
Oh, I can't...
He's like, no, please don't mention this.
And I was under the desk like, dear Jesus.
I love that they're like, they spent all last season like, why would they ever fire you? Hey, remember when I was giving you a blowjob and HR walked in?
Remember when you were married with kids and you were the boss and you were fucking me while I was under your desk and HR came in and then you left your family for me and probably got fired for morale's clauses?
And they're telling the story, and then Seth is really trying to sell this good content. He's like,
"That is amazing! That is amazing!"
Mayor, tell me that you're recording this time, huh? Now I didn't even bring out the laptop. This is just a Fisher Price record player for Brooksy.
So Meredith's like, listen, this is like the time Brooksy first put his hand on top of all of the rest of our hands to hold the lemon down while I cut it.
Very lemon beautiful. Ceremony. Very, very special ceremony. It's like a bar mitzvah, but instead it's when a child is old enough to put his hand on a lemon so we as a family can slice it together.
It's beautiful, is my point. And it's very, very beautiful.
Touching
beautiful. Well, to Justin's credit, which he had before we got married.
Oh, that takes care of question number 12. Thank you. Where's your credit?
He steps up for me every day. He has been there for me. He didn't just marry me. He stood by my dad during his sobriety, my siblings, my mother, the shit I put that man through, most people would have left. Technically, I should be on a husband 7.
This is good. This is good content. Yeah, so there is actually a nice moment where she talks about, a sad moment when she talks about Justin's dad dying. And it was a very sad story, but we're a fun podcast. We don't have to talk about
it. We ignore important things like that. Meredith's like, well, everything that you said is probably cathartic, but it's also good to hear, and maybe you helped other secretaries taking it doggy in front of HR.
It's good to know, and this is a great lesson why you should always have floor protectors under your desk. It's not just for chairs.
Is that a wrap? No, but this is. I rolled right up to the Diet of Coke and I said, baby Jesus, whoa, boy, you're no joke. Jack's on a mission because we're not above that. Send him to Columbia. I'll say, hey, I love that. I love that. I'm a rapper now.
Get out of our scene.
I'm sorry, John Barlow. I am for real. Never meant to take your Diet Coke. I was just very thirsty and it was mine in the first place.
Okay, so now we get possibly my favorite new Haas of all time.
Oh my God, Ronnie, this was so good.
They're just the best ones this season. I'm not really sure what to say, but we get country music Haas. This shit is gold. It's like
this.
Ha ha this ha, is ha, like, ha 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 ha.
This is like when they go when you watch the Grammys and they put together like Reba McEntire but and Metallica. They love doing a mashup. It was like I was like, oh, this show is just brilliant.
It really is. Did you see Reba McEntire's on The Voice now?
I did see that, yes.
I wouldn't normally notice or care really, but it was on the preview thing, I guess, on Peacock. I was cracking up at her. Who's the Irish guy? Is it an Irish guy that's on there too?
That is, what's his face from One Direction? Niall.
Really? Wow. Anyway, Reba's like, why has this all work? What we get up there? What, there's blind auditions. What does that mean? You gonna poke my eyes out for that? What are we gonna do? Close our eyes? That's ridiculous. You have a chair that turns? That is ridiculous. What am I supposed to be here? These people are hilarious. Tell you that much.
You know another chair is going to swivel around. It's going to be Heather Dubrow. Oh, look at me on another Reba McEntire show.
Wow, how many times do I need to reject this one? Am I right? This has literally been over a decade.
So we have this amazing Pioneer Tabernacle, Trixie monoclacal music. Really, I'm so glad you noticed that too, because I was
cracking up. This is so funny. So Heather drives up and she meets with Emily, the event coordinator, and she's getting a tour of everything that's set up there. There's bonnets and aprons on a table, and Heather's like, "This is gonna be a hard sell. If they knew about this, they would not be coming here."
Yeah. And she goes, I know, I want these prima donnas to feel a little bit of the grit that created the state of Utah, at least in terms of white people who came here. These bonnets are rimmed to keep the sun out of our eyes, the dust out of our mouths, to keep us safe as we trudged across the plains. Mm-hmm.
And then Meredith shows up in like leather bell bottoms and a like faux fur jacket.
And then Lisa's like, ah.
Oh my God, it's...
I dressed for spring.
My God, it's Meredith Marks. It's Meredith Marks and Lisa. Oh my God, Elise, get over here. I know you're just a caterer, but look. That's Meredith Marks and Lisa Barlow.
Those are the big dogs.
I'm hanging with the big dogs at last. So they're like, it's all nice, everything. They're getting cocktails. And then all of a sudden, Meredith sees the table with bonnets. And she goes, oh, no, why are there bonnets and dresses? And Lisa's like, no, I will not. I won't. This is my face. It's my face.
Meredith's like, we're not doing costumes anymore, Heather. Well, I would never make you do costumes. However, I would ask you to partake. In our shared heritage. And Lisa's like, that's not my shared heritage. Guess what? I don't share anything. Listen, those aren't my roots. Are we really doing this? Actually, Meredith, you really look great in that, actually. That bonnet. Okay, Meredith will do it. Meredith is going to do it for me. Put on another one, stupid.
Heather was smart because she gave them a costume that was easily removable and did not mess up their hair. So they get into it and they're in their bonnets and their apron. And then Whitney shows up. She's like, what the hell? What are you wearing? And Heather's like, dude, don't you recognize our native attire?
What's happening?
So then Monica comes and she says hi to everybody. And Lisa's coughing mad. She's like,
gross. She's gross.
And Monica goes, and hi, Lisa. And Lisa just starts wiping her nose furiously. And like playing with her hair and not saying anything. So Monica just laughs at her openly.
And she's She was basically like, you know what, girl, today I woke up and like chose peace. So happy to be here, girl.
So Angie comes dressed like a white puffball. She's wearing like a white fur and a big giant fur purse.
The pink glasses are out.
She's like, look at my sheep. I'm little Bo Peep. Bah, bah, bah. We are sheep. Look, we are sheep.
Bo Bo Peep.
We make bars like this. Opa. Opa. We are Opa. Sheep. We are Greek sheep.
Bo Bop Sheep.
Heather goes, yeah, but instead of bawing, we go, bitch. And they cut to one of the sheep going, did she just call us a bitch?
Really? The other one goes, yes. So Heather goes, I would like to make a toast to all of my sister wives. I want to say thank you for showing up to my book event at the reading of my book, Bad Mormon. And it reminded me, April is the month of the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. That's when it was founded, on April 6, 1830. So I wanted to have some fun today and focus on the fun aspects of our heritage. And guys, I hope you all know how to turn butter by hand. And everyone's like,
Oh, fuck off. You know? So now we get a shot of the dumbest little goat trying to get through branches of a tree, and it can't figure it out. Even though the opening's plenty biggie, the goat just can't do it. You know, sorry, goat. Sorry to diss you, but get better goats, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Some, they're not all not all the goats can be the goat. So they toast, and so then they all, Heather starts teaching them how to churn, which I thought this was so fun. Meanwhile, this is like my favorite day ever on like Real Housewives of activities. They're like churning butter, they're making little dolls. I was like, this seems like a great day of activities.
Yeah. And Heather's like, these crafts are deeply embedded in our culture. I mean, Mormons, come on, guys. We have stores to buy jars for butter churning or yarn for pattern doll making. These aren't things I had to seek out. In our culture, we have a store called Hobby Lobby. Okay. Joseph Smith invented that. Well, Jesus did, but he told Joseph Smith to build it and rhymed the name so it's catchier. And it's also, you know, strongly urges its female employees to not get health care. So it's a great thing. Only in Mormon culture, guys. Only hot glue. It's like plastic that you melt and it glues things together.
The point is this. You can only find mason jars in Salt Lake City.
And yarn.
I know. But the best part is the way Brooklyn basically co-opts all this culture and turns it into like the chicest bar in the borough.
I know. So, Brooklyn, like people in Williamsburg are like, who are the real fucking pioneers? I was here when there was only a plant eat Thailand.
I know. Because hipsters love dressing like pioneers. Okay.
They do.
So they really do.
And bathing like so they're pioneers. I would say so sorry, hipsters, but hipsters don't listen to this.
No, they're not. They're like literally like lining up for some sort of bespoke tincture that you can get at a farm stand in Flatbush. So Heather's shaking their butter, and Heather's getting mad at everyone because no one's shaking it right. And she's like, it should take 6 minutes and make sure it shakes the top, not just the bottom, not just the side. You got to do it. So she's like policing them.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Angie. I know that rap. So then we had, of course, the obligatory slow-mo footage of them all shaking their butter because it looks like they're all jerking things off. And Meredith puts both hands on. She's like, I'm here. I got two hands. Here we go.
Yeah, it's like. That's the hands they're making. They're all making these jerk-off things, motions. And Heather's like, okay, let our butter set. Now is for our next craft. And the next craft is to find a rock, draw a face on a handkerchief, and make a doll out of it.
But Meredith also is like reluctant to just put her butter down and let it set. She's like, well, my mother taught me that. I taught my children that once you start something, you have to finish it, which is why I always tell Brooksy, you need to figure out where that triangle peg goes into before we can go on to snack time.
So they all name their dolls and show off their dolls to each other. It's like Pink Pioneer. And I've Trina the Trucker. And hello, say hello to Margaret, whose husband wants to spend time with her. And Whitney's like, this is Celestial. And then we get to Monica. Monica's like, this is Molly to represent Molly Mormon, which I was. And now she bears a scarlet letter to remind all the other pioneers on the trail, since all of you are goody-goodies, that this is a really what the church is about, which is forgiveness. No one is giving you shit. Oh, and she goes, and welcoming the black sheep into the fold. None of them has shamed you for that.
For having an affair. No, that's actually like the easiest thing for them to go after. None of them have gone after it. And she's like all mad at them about, and she's also like really mad that people would be upset at her for this like affair, you know?
Also, why are you saying you're from the Church of Forgiveness when you've, like, you and Heather have both been excommunicated? And was Whitney too? No, Whitney had to sign things. I don't know. I don't know if I would say big excommunication religions are big on forgiveness, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not part of it. Just putting it out there.
But it was basically just a way to get Lisa annoyed. And it works, because Lisa starts doing that thing where she's looking left and right in her bonnet like, God, you guys hear that? Did you guys hear that?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
It's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, the Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids. Follow 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So now they're going to go sit down for a meal. And Meredith's like, are we allowed to take a break from churning? Because I've been shaking this butter for about 45 minutes. Like, oh my God. Yeah, put that down.
Heather's like, okay, well, the menu today is a Pioneer Comfort Foods. Ribs, cornbread, mac and cheese, Snickers bars, M&Ms, and pizza. And Lisa's like, I'm only a quarter of the way through the Book of Mormon, but there's like no songs about cornbread and mac and cheese. Lisa, you're thinking of the musical Book of Mormon. But musicals are a religion to gays, and they don't believe in mac and cheese for lunch either. At least up in there.
So then they're also passing around a dish called funeral potatoes, which I'd never heard of before. And I looked
it up. I
don't
know what that is either. What is it? Teach me, Ben.
Honestly, I looked it up. You know, I should have kept up the description. I'll do it again. Funeral potatoes. Honestly, I kind of want them.
It looks like mac and cheese, right? So what is it, like gratin potatoes that still got bread crumbs and shit on top of it?
It's like cheese.
Oh, it's a hash brown casserole.
Hash browns. The cornflake is really what sort of made me intrigued by this. But this honestly sounds amazing.
I'm not a big hash brown fan. Sour cream. I like a more solid potato.
Well, you know, you can probably mix up the sort of potato you do. You know, I bet you could do tater tots. Why not?
Well, that same thing. Those are just little hash browns. Those are little nugget.
You don't
hash
like tater
browns.
Tots.
I do not.
Do whatever potato you want, Ronnie.
No, you can't. That's not a funeral. That's a living. It's a living potato. You can't just call something a funeral potato and do it your own way. The I'm alive potato.
Well, I think it sounds delicious, and I would like to try it. And next time we do a show in Utah, I demand to have funeral potatoes at some point.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to let us back there, but I love your positive thinking. Okay, so they eat funeral potatoes and talk about that, and Angie's like, I thought Greek food was good.
She even turns that. Yeah, she really does say this. I thought Greek food was good, but this is actually really good too, in a non-Greek kind of way. But I'm Greek because I'm Greek.
So Heather's like, okay, guess what we're going to do? Another game, another Pioneer favorite. It's called Let's Trigger Monica and Make Her Scream and Yell at Lisa.
I know. You know, when she said, I've got another game, I groaned. I'm really sick of these games. But then when she said, it's called Who's on Your Wagon? I was like, okay, I kind of like this. It's a little different than the Two Truths and a Lie. It's covered wagon based. So I'm already into it.
These are so bad, though. And Beverly Hills just had to do that this week, too. Like, literally pulling out cards. I mean, come on, yeah. Guys. You're in season 13. So, yeah, it's imagine you're on your wagon train, okay? The oxen are tired. The snow has come in. Our wagon has too much weight, and one person has to go. Who do you throw off? Lisa? Go ahead. She's sitting right over there.
Mary,
her
kill,
name rhymes with Fomica. Do it.
I know. It's like Fuck, Mary, Kill. But since this is a Mormon game, it's just going to be kill. Because we're not allowed to fuck. And I guess we could marry. marry, kill. So Lisa
the Mormon goes, okay. Version. Fuck, marry, and kill.
So Lisa's like, okay, well, I'm a big supporter of Mormon. So I would keep everyone but the one who's nastiest to women. So Monica, you would have to go just because you're mouthy and mean to women.
You're mouthy. That's what people who support women say. You mouthy. Woman. And Monica goes, yeah,
oh my God, Steinem. You are so nasty. Okay.
Now Monica, who is just trying to start a fight, didn't get it. But now Lisa just hands it to her on a platter. And yes. Then they fight like the adults they are.
You are. I'm honest. There's a difference.
You suck. Oh my God, there's not a difference. You're nasty.
You know what? You love my voice. So like you like to use it because Monica's like,
you're just nasty.
Like tries to make a baby voice, but it still sounds like my version of Monica. So it didn't really yes. work.
Oh yeah, you love my voice so much? Then that's why you use it all the time.
And she's like,
actually, I hate your voice. It's like so annoying.
Anyway, I don't even think that's your real voice.
You wouldn't know because we're not friends. Real friends know each other's real voices. So Heather's like, one of the main goals this brunch was for Monica and Lisa to make amends so we can go on this trip without all this tension. And Lisa opens up with nasty woman. I mean, couldn't she have saved something softer? Like, we're all scared you'll sleep with our brother-in-laws or something that we could all come back from. I'm like, Heather, you're the one who asked who would you kick off the wagon, and you knew this would be the response. Come on now.
I know, and I just said no one has shamed Monica for sleeping with her brother-in-law, and then here you come in, like, swinging, you know?
Yeah.
So Monica's like, you know what's nasty? Seeing someone's mother doesn't want them. Ew! Okay. All right.
She thinks the real nasty bitch here is you.
And Lisa's like, oh my God, you called your mom Ted Bundy. Anyone who could ever talk about their mom like that will never be your friend. He used to have sex with people, decapitate them, and then he was really mean to Peg. That's nasty.
I think that's Al Bundy, not Ted Bundy.
And then he would round up all the, like, kids at camp and just, like, kill them one by one, but they never saw his face because he was wearing a mask.
I think that's Jason and Voorhees.
Yeah, but you know what? Stell, you shouldn't talk about your mom like that. And Monica's like,
well, it makes sense that you like the fakest one, because fakes like fakes, so just be quiet.
I love that you hate hearing, like, she wouldn't want to be your mother, but you're like, yeah, of course you like my fake bitch of a mother. In the same conversation. So Lisa's exactly. Like, no, we are not done yet. She's,
I'm done.
So Angie starts like dinging her glass. She's like, opa, 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 everybody, opa, opa, opa.
You are like so nasty on the inside. You're like so ugly.
And Lisa's like, I hate liars. There's nothing uglier than a liar.
You don't know shit.
And Heather's like, Monica. Bring it down, Monica. Come on, Monica, bring it down.
Monica, who's like, crying, Monica. Is like, you're so mean to me.
You are so ugly.
Okay, Monica. So then Angie finally just stands up and throws a glass and goes, opa!
And no one even pays attention, by the way. No one turns. No one's even shocked. They don't even really even give a boom. They just keep on going.
Yeah.
Monica's like, the hypocrisy is like next level. So then she says, the fact that I'm being made out to feel like I'm in the wrong one, girl, I'm just defending myself, is like very triggering to me. And like, I think this is like very similar to situations with my mom where it's like, you can say disgusting, hurtful things, but like you're never in the wrong.
I mean, yeah, I mean, look, I'd agree. Saying mean, nasty, hurtful things and not apologizing and then immediately starting to cry when you don't get your, oh, that's you. That's you. You guys are twins, okay? You and Linda are two of my favorite problematic twins of the season. Congrats. You're your mother.
You've already arrived. Yes. We got there earlier than we expected, kids.
But to be fair, she does sort of have a point, which is that Lisa did start this. So, Heather...
Well, she started this technically, right? But Monica came in trying to start a fight with everybody and wasn't really getting her way. And she was starting and not letting it go the last episode with Lisa. And, yeah, I mean, I guess that's... I mean, we can keep going back, but, you know, you do that too much in Housewives, your brain will start leaking out of your ear.
But the other thing is that with Monica, she really steps into the role of like angry teenager. And then that makes everyone else step into the role of like mom. You know, they're all like, okay, now we're the mothers here. So I think that's really why that dynamic, like that's why they all kind of blamed her, because they all just shifted into those roles right away. So Heather's like, come on, Monica, get up. Okay, come on, bring your butter. Are you crying? What's going on? Mom's here. Good mom is here.
But I like that
Heather's trip to Bermuda.
I'm sorry. Say it again. Sorry.
Oh, we have to, no, just saying that she said we have to announce our trip to Bermuda.
Oh, what's wrong with me? I can't stop. It's like, we don't talk enough. I just can't stop. So Heather, I like that Heather says it like, are you crying? She's kind of disgusted.
There's like, no seriously. Crying in Mormon arts and crafts.
Well, especially when you start so many fights and go and go and then call someone ugly and now you're crying. I mean, I guess in this situation, it would be because they're kind of ganging up on her by just letting Lisa go at her. But still, like,
but Monica like you said, has now,
there's no crying in Housewives. It's not fair.
But Monica has fully regressed into like 14-year-old teenager. And Heather is now stepping into mom role. So she's...
Well, like, she also like, has regressed into Jen a little bit, you know? And she does have a lot of Jen Shaw qualities. Like, I could see how they were close. Because that's what Jen used to do, you know? When Jen was finally confronted or someone stood up to her, saying,
but what about me? What about me?
I'm getting those vibes for sure.
Yes. So Monica's now the teenager. She's like, I'm not going to go. And Heather's like, you're not going to go? I mean, what did she say that hurt you to this point? Did you finish your homework? And Monica's like, what? What? She was like, I mean, I'm being sincere. Like, what did she say? Oh, were you not at the table, Mom? They were being so mean to me.
And she's like, yeah, but that was like tit for tat. That was equal. I mean, it's called lunch.
So. This is what we do. I want to say the big dogs, but medium-sized dogs. But Meredith and Lisa, they're the real big dogs.
So now Lisa comes over because, you know, one thing you learn pretty quickly on these shows is if somebody is crying and saying the word triggered, you're screwed. It's like, there's no winning this. So now Lisa totally changes her tune and she comes over and Monica's saying, she sat down and game right for me. And Heather's like, it was a game.
That was not a game.
So Lisa takes her arm and she's like, hey, listen, if you need me to acknowledge that your mom isn't nice to you, then I'm sorry. And by me saying that, you know, me saying that I saw her being nice, that does not mean I negate your feelings.
Something she could have said ages ago, but now she realized, like, oh fuck, this could ruin our entire vacation, and this is the first time we get to go out the country. I'm not ruining this. Okay, we're leaving. I'm using my passport. Okay,
pretty much.
So Lisa's like, the bottom line is Heather put a lot of effort into this lunch and the trip she planned for all of us. And if it means like talking to Monica and working this out, I'm willing to do it. Okay. Because I need to get my ton.
So she's like, so is that what I got wrong? Did I apologize right? And Monica says, you know, I don't know.
I'm just going to apologize for saying you're ugly, though, because I really didn't mean that. I mean, you are, but I shouldn't say it out loud. You have ketchup in your hair. So,
thanks. You know, it shouldn't be this way. We didn't start off this way. Do you know what I mean? Let's take a deep breath and move forward to Bermuda. God, please don't ruin this trip for us.
So they slowly move back to the table. Meanwhile, everyone's shaking their butter jars. So all you hear is like
tense butter.
And everyone making jerking off in their bonnets. I can't.
So Meredith's like, well, are we peaceful? We
don't Monica apologized and said she's always wrong, and that's it. So we're going to move forward now.
Ladies, Let me tell you something. These are not just place settings. These are actually invitations from Monica and me to go on a spectacular girls trip with a foreign passport required location, okay? And we want to share it with you. But I need Monica to find her energy to help me announce it. Monica, can you help out, Monica?
She's like pouting. She's like, no.
This is like the standard kid that like has a tantrum at like the holidays or something like that, and now they're back at the table and I'm trying to like cheer them up again and get them back into a good mood.
You want some macaroni on a choo-choo train coming to
Do you want to help Monica? You want to help do the announcement? You want to help mom do the announcement, Monica?
So Heather's like, okay, the first clue is, why would a seashell be in this little jar I gave you? It's very important.
Because we're going to the ocean.
And there's an island.
We're going to an island, but will there be an ocean there?
Wait, is this where the salad dressing comes from?
How many islands are we going to? 1,000?
No.
It's the only island I've ever heard. No, wait. Are we going to a kitchen?
Oh, is this the place where they have the burgers and stuff?
Okay, here's the second clue. There's pink sand in our jar. So, Monica, why would there be pink sand and an ocean? Oh my God, it's Bermuda. It's Bermuda. I love Bermuda. It's fucking Lisa. You already knew.
I know.
That's not fair.
Stupid, so she's Lisa laughing. Monica's still sulking.
She's like, oh my gosh.
So Heather goes, we are going to Bermuda because, okay, Monica, I'll do your part. Okay. Monica used to go there for summers with her grandfather. If Monica wants to tell us more about it, this would be a great time for Monica to jump in. Oh my God,
that's part of the mission. That's part of the mission too in Bermuda. It's like a huge community there. And Heather's like, yeah, there's a huge Portuguese community. And Monica, why is there a tiny little skull in here?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
Come on, little skull.
I don't want to talk about it.
Come on, you. This is your favorite part. That's last night.
Because we're all going home to hell, to Devil's Triangle, where we belong.
And then everybody looks at her like, I can't believe she just said we all belonged in hell. And they give her a dirty look.
Everyone's like, she ruined her own presentation.
So stupid. So then there's piano drama, and now Monica's pissed everybody off, so she's smirking. It's like a little kid, like,
I got him.
And Heather goes, are you even okay, Monica?
She's like, no, I feel alone. I'm just done. I'm like a spin.
I'm spent, which is also what I have to tell my collectors.
And Heather is like, so you're not going to go on this trip? And she's like,
no, I don't think it's a good idea for me to go on the trip.
And they're like, yeah, but we planned it around you and Bermuda, okay, and your grandma, and the summers you spent there.
I just don't want you. That was totally different when we planned it.
And Heather's like, this is a totally different energy before. I mean, you were just attacking her full force, and now you're going to cry and act like we all came at you?
You know, I always really wondered why Jen never had anything nice to say about Heather and Lisa, and now I know exactly why.
Yeah, because Jen was like a narcissist criminal.
So yes. Jen was a fucking monster, which you've said. Didn't you call Secret Service on Jen because you had the instincts not to trust Jen, which I'm starting to believe less and less as we go. And I'm wondering if she was like testifying to get off. You know what I mean? Because she was a witness because she worked for her. I don't know. But it's hard to have credibility when you talk that way about Jen, but then immediately use her saying bad things about someone as evidence that that person is bad. Pick a lane.
Yeah. Also, Monica, this is your first season and you're doing such a great job. You can't skip the cast vacation. You can't do this. And obviously we know you're going to go.
Yeah,
we know you're going to go, but you can't pull these moves. Come on. Come on, Monica.
But she's good. I mean, I think it's doing good. You know, sometimes on these shows, I don't love the younger cast members because I feel like they just throw them in, like Leah on Real Housewives of New York. Why would you throw Leah? You're just putting this bratty teenager in the position to be a bratty teenager and bitch at the older people. And that was like funny for a minute. But in general, it just gets old. But this is working really well. On Married to Medicine, it's working really well too. Yeah. So maybe they figured it out.
Yeah, because sometimes when they put in a young cast member, one of my objections is that they're just not as interesting. Like, I feel like the women who are in their 40s have just lived a little bit more life and have gone through a little bit more shit. And like, their kids are a little older. Their kids are going off. They're kind of at a big life transition. And I feel like there's something really exciting going on there, because it's like women or people in general who are just like now pivoting into a new chapter, and like, what's that chapter going to look like? Whereas like, people who are like 32 who have a baby, it's like they all have the same observations and they all have the same thoughts that they think are really novel. But
that's part of being older. Like, we just, it's natural to think that, like, you know, people, I'm so fascinating now. Like, this age is the fascinating age. And kids are stupid. I mean, I, and like, old people just repeat themselves, you know? Like, every age, I think the best age, you know?
But I feel like for the years that we've been doing this show, I've always felt like I've always gravitated towards the older women versus the younger women. And I just think that, like, a lot of the people that come on these shows who are, like, young mothers, and just in general in my life, and this would go for young fathers too, but just that, because the show focuses on the women, they all feel like they're making really salient observations about child rearing a lot of times, and it's like, it's cool and it's great for them, but it's also like, we've all heard it before. And so when people come on, they're like, being the mother of four children is just, it's so hard sometimes. I gotta take this one to school, and then this one's got practice, and then this one's got a runny nose. And it's like, that's totally true. And it's interesting for you. But it's always the same on these shows.
Okay, so I think boomer.
I gravitate towards the women who've sort of been through that already and now are just kind of like, give me some booze.
Well, it's okay. Funny because
30-year-olds are also asking for booze. I should say that.
Monica really gets them back in a funny way. And it really does show the age divide, because Heather's like, I mean, where's that Monica? Where's that fun Monica? And Monica goes,
you all killed her real quick. She's dead. Like Taylor Swift said.
And Lisa goes, what?
Who's that?
And they just all stare at her like, what are you even talking about? So funny.
What do you mean she's dead, you know? But it was a to be continued. I get so mad when it's to be continued now, because now when it's to be continued, we don't even get a preview for next week. And I was dying. I need to know what's going to happen. Oh, no, actually, wait, I'm wrong. We did see the preview. The preview for next week was excellent. It was the to be continued for Below Deck we didn't see, but for the next week's episode, they're not even on vacation yet. I love, that's a good season too, by the way, when they announce the vacation and the next episode they can't even get to vacation yet because so much shit happens.
Should still have a few episodes left, right? Because they just filmed the reunion, and by the way, the heads of the reunion seating next to Andy, both sides of Andy, are Monica and Heather. So
that's good for Monica, because, you know, that's good for her, like, meaning that they're going to keep her around, right? Because otherwise,
well, not necessarily. Aviva got first chair too.
Did she really?
Isn't that crazy? I was reading Reddit. By the way, everybody knows I do not have the memory to know that. But
Ronnie.
I know.
That was impressive.
I know. I have to admit, because, you know, I love me some Bravo Real Housewives over on Reddit. And that's where I read it. let me see if I can find it. Oh, my gosh. I've got all these memes you were sending me. Oh, now I've got all these Kyle screenshots from Below Deck. Oh, God. I'm sorry. Damn it.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
There's also should be an Isabella Rossellini Seduce Me Duck.
Fucking ducks. Video. hold on. I will find this, damn it. Okay, here it is. Someone said, who else has gotten first chairs? Monica the first? Okay, here they are. You ready? Do you want to even hear them?
Monica, of course.
You didn't ask for this. I think it's really interesting.
No, I'm into
though.
It. So is this for people who got first chair in their first season?
Yes.
I think we just had one too, by the way. I think a show that just wrapped, someone was in the first chair. But anyway, go on.
By the way, I didn't even screenshot their username. What a dick. So sorry to whoever did this. So Atlanta, Kenya, Marlo sat first chair at her first reunion as a full-time housewife, but appeared as a friend of in many reunions before. So don't know if they count her. So Dallas, Tiffany.
Yes.
Miami, Joanna. And then also Miami, Julia sat first chair in her first season, but it was during the reboot season, so they're not sure if that counts. This person is very thorough. They're very good. I love this. New York City, Aviva. And also, guess who's the other one? Let's see if you can guess it.
Oh my God, I'm from New York?
Yeah.
Dorinda.
It was actually, Sonia. There's two.
Kristen?
Well, there's no. Kristen.
Really?
Yeah.
Kristen Takeman got first seat?
Isn't that crazy?
That's a little wild.
So then there's another one who she's, or they're not sure if this counts or not, which is Leah. Leah was sat next to Andy in her first reunion, right. But the setup was different due to COVID, so I'm not sure if that counts. Then Orange County.
In a weird way, even though this doesn't count because it was all their first seasons, when Jessel and Aaron wound up in first seats and not Jenna, that was a surprise too, but that's sort of like not quite the same as we're talking about, but I still was surprised.
Oh yeah, that's true. So let's see. And then, yeah, I said Leah already. And then in Orange County, it was, you guess.
Shannon Bedore.
It was, very good. I didn't guess that one. Salt, by the way, I didn't guess any of these. And then it says, first chair has never been given to a new housewife of Beverly Hills, Potomac, or New Jersey.
Well, Potomac, that makes sense because Potomac has the really unique thing going on. What I think one of the things that makes Potomac so special, and I always think about this, is the Giselle and Karen thing. Although I think that Karen was maybe not first. I feel like they normally, Giselle and Karen are normally in the first seats, but I feel like Karen was not first seat recently. Or maybe Giselle wasn't. But since you have those like two towering figures in the group, I feel like they almost always are going to be first seat, right?
I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
New Jersey is a little surprising. I'm surprised that like Margaret on her first season did not get first seat. But you know, because you always have Melissa and Teresa.
You know? That's the thing. You know, they always kind of win that one. So who knows?
But Monica, I think what's weird about Monica being first seat as a newbie is that she really feels like, because she is the youngin. I feel like it's not just that she's the newbie, but she's the youngin, and I feel like the youngins don't get to. Get that first seat.
Well, all this, we talked about it in Crappy Hour. There's a whole episode from two Mondays ago, the last Crappy Hour Live. You can find it on this podcast feed. Just scroll down a little bit.
Sure can.
It's called Monica something, and it's all about Monica and all the drama with Monica. And part of it is, spoiler alert, by the way, if you don't want to know any of this, end the podcast now. We're almost done anyway. Bye. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving.
Part of it is that she sued Heather in 2019 because Heather's company, Beauty Lab, put her apparently on some kind of payment plan where she went in and she got like $2,500 worth of Botox and or fillers and Botox or whatever. And they put her on a payment plan and she only paid the setup fee and first payment of like $500 and then never paid it. So Monica's company, Beauty Lab, went after her and sued her, as we found. That's what Utah does, I guess, is sue you for your debt. And they sued her, but they didn't know because she was going under a different name at that time. They didn't know it was Monica. And so apparently they find out that it's Monica. And people are speculating, like, is this the thing that they find out in Bermuda that is the big secret that Heather is saying, oh, my God, she betrayed us. Is it her because she's been this secret identity this whole time coming for Heather?
It's got to be.
Right? That's good, right? And I hate
that. Oh my, I forgot that there's a secret that's about to be unleashed.
I know. And I'm so sorry I spoiled you. Because you know I hate spoilers.
No, I love, oh, that's so good.
But it's everywhere. Well,
look, I'm either going to be surprised now or I'll be surprised later, you know? But like, oh my God. That's absolutely amazing of a theory. I did not think any season could ever top season two of this show from Salt Lake City. But this season is really, it might be, this might be, and season two of this show was really a top of all of them, of all the franchises. It was one of the very, very best. It was so great. But that being said, the lead up to Jenshaw being, once Jenshaw got arrested, the rest of the season was like out of 10. But the lead up was more like a 7 with some really, there were some really great episodes, but this has kind of been like at a 10 every single episode so far.
It's been good. And also what you expect, I think sometimes, not you personally, but us as an audience, what we expect sometimes from these shows is too much. And this is like kind of proving simplicity really does work. You know, there has been like a lot of bickering and stuff that's been funny, but a lot of it's just home scenes, you know, and they're still fun.
Exactly. And like season two had like the heavy lifting of a federal case, had like an arrest, and like, you know, that's sort of undeniable. But this one doesn't even have that. The fact that this one could be so good without Homeland Security really speaks volumes to its quality.
We didn't even have to call in the FBI for this one. It's crazy.
Oh, not yet.
And there's not even six attorneys, you know, being advised for this one. So everybody, thank you so much. This was really fun. As always, I'm sorry we won't be here for Beverly Hills or Miami this week, but you know what? We're going to come back swinging until Christmas time. We've got so much coming up that it's insane.
Yeah, we're going to be here. We're just going to be just ghosts by the time this is done.
And it all looks good.
We're
just going
to be evaporated by it, but we've got so many great shows coming down the pike. So we'll be working overtime in December. So we're going to take this moment to enjoy our American Thanksgiving. And we will catch you on Monday. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Stroll in the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.